Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Radio. We're so glad you could join us here in our last 2 days of June for our inspiration article on page 42. And maybe you want to find it on your digital device if you're using that today. And I have two fine people in the studio with me today.
Hello, everyone. This is Carolyn.
And I'm Joe.
And I'm Linda. And let me ask you, this is our inspiration article. What is something that has inspired you?
Oh, I guess a lot of different things have inspired me. Our lesson today is very inspirational. I really appreciate the story that we're going to be looking at today. True life events.
Right. How about you, Joe?
I know for me, what really inspires me is reading like Martin Luther King Jr. speeches, those sort of like old historic talks where people are at a low point and a leader is trying to rally people around him. I don't know, I always find those to be really inspirational.
Right. So we're seeing a lot of variation on this word inspiration as something being inspirational, being used as an adjective there, or to be inspiring, the same. So they're all in the same word family, and you can associate them all with something, you know, that makes you, encourages you in some way. And this story, which, as Carolyn alluded to earlier, is a true story that happened in Baltimore. And actually, it happened this year. This is published this year. Maybe it happened last year, but it's been a very recent story that has turned some lives around because of a person that actually harm was done to. And she didn't want to do anything bad back to them. Instead, she decided to help those people who had attacked her. And that's what our story is about. So if you have your magazine with you, why don't you open it again to page 42 if you haven't already? And let's begin our reading, the left-hand column on page 42.
Life change is possible. Two boys carjacked an 80-year-old. Now she's their advocate. The weather wasn't too cold that December morning, so Baltimore City Councilwoman Rochelle Ricky Spector put on a light jacket as she headed for her gold Buick. Two teenage boys from Southwest Baltimore were in her Inner Harbor parking garage, cutting school and looking for cars to steal. They fixed their eyes on the 80-year-old Spector. The attack was quick, and it was violent. As Spector got in her vehicle, the 13-year-old blocked her door from closing. The 15-year-old hit her in the face, hard. In a city besieged by violence, it seemed to show that no one, not even an octogenarian city official, was safe.
So we see that our title says life change is possible, and we also see that two boys carjacked an 80-year-old. Have you ever been carjacked?
I have not been carjacked. Very fortunate. Although I have seen signs on the road in certain areas that say, carjacking area, do not stop. And so there are definitely certain areas where carjacking is very prevalent, and you just keep driving. Don't
okay.
stop there.
How about you, Joe?
No, I've thankfully never had this experience, although I've driven through Baltimore before and driven through D.C., and I always remember to keep my windows up and try to keep my eyes open.
And your door's locked.
Yes.
Yes, well, we haven't really defined this word carjacked. It means to attack a driver of a car as you are trying to steal the vehicle or to rob the person that's driving the car. And this person happened to be an 80-year-old woman. And we read in our article here that it was a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old that were trying to carjack. Yes, and the woman, actually, we see also is a city official. So, you know, they don't really care. Well, let's take a look at the article here. It says that the weather wasn't too cold that December morning, so this probably happened this past December, and she is a city councilwoman, Baltimore City Councilwoman. And if you're a councilwoman, what are you?
Well, it means that you have been elected by the people who live in that city to represent them in the government, the local city government. And so she's someone who is representing the people of Baltimore and hoping to make positive changes to better the lives of the people who live in the city.
Right, by being on what's called the city council. That's usually what we call them. Okay, so we're going to call her Ricky, and she was just wearing a light jacket. I was like, in December in Baltimore, you're wearing a light jacket?
Yeah, it's a little chilly.
That must have been a very warm December.
Yes, as she headed for her gold Buick. So we see Buick is capitalized here. It's just a make of a car. And there, while she went into the car garage, or she headed toward her gold Buick, there were two other guys there. Boys, young men there, it says two teenage boys from Southwest Baltimore were in her, and this shows where she lives, her Inner Harbor parking garage. And what were they doing, Joe?
So they were in her Inner Harbor parking garage, and they were cutting school and looking for cars to steal. And that cutting school, or we often say cutting class, means that they were skipping. They weren't where they were supposed to be.
Right. So they're supposed to be in school, and that's another phrase that Joe just used, we often use, is also skipping school, and it just means you're not going to school. And they were instead in this parking garage, and they were very explicitly looking for cars to steal, okay? And they fixed their eyes on. This is kind of an interesting phrase. I don't usually see it used this way. I mean, she was their target, actually. So it says they fixed their eyes on the 80-year-old specter. And how do you usually see this phrase used, Carolyn?
Well, you often see it used as envisioning a goal. Maybe you fix your eyes on a goal. That means that you determine what your target is. And this one is a much more literal usage, where they are actually looking at a physical target rather than a slightly more abstract target.
Right. So it means that they were closely paying attention to her and probably thinking, aha.
Easy pickings. Easy target.
Pick, yes. And I think that the next sentence says it all. It says the attack was quick and it was violent. And if something is violent, what is it, Joe?
If something's violent, you can tell that in this carjacking, they were using a lot of force. They were hitting her and attacking her.
Okay. So they didn't just say, give me your car.
Right. There wasn't a threat. There was actual force used right away.
Yeah. And we see that described in the next paragraph, because it says as she got in her vehicle, the 13-year-old blocked her from closing the door. So actually she was already in her car and they approached it and held the door open. Well, the 13-year-old held the door open. And what did the 15-year-old do?
The 15-year-old hit her in the face hard.
Okay.
So it wasn't just like a smack or trying to threaten her to get out of her car, but really using force as he hit her in the face.
I actually read a little bit more about this, and after that they threw her into a concrete pillar, so her car was parked close to, you know, a supporting kind of
columns?
Maybe? Yeah, kind of a column, so we call them a pillar here, and they threw her against that. And, of course, this attack got into all of the papers, and the boys were arrested, okay? But we're going to look at the city here. It says, in a city besieged by violence. And I think Baltimore is really becoming very well, has this reputation for being besieged by violence. And if you're besieged by something, what is that describing?
To be besieged just means to be overwhelmed or surrounded. And so Baltimore, like you just mentioned, is quite well known for being surrounded and just filled with violence or protests and crime.
I think that certain areas of cities, a lot of cities have that reputation. So you know, when you go to a certain city, a lot of people avoid certain areas of a city. And so it's kind of interesting that they are actually, they're using the phrase in a city besieged by violence.
Something to note here is with Baltimore, the two places that we're hearing about, Southwest Baltimore and Inner Harbor, these places are as different as night and day.
Right.
Inner Harbor is a wealthy part of town. It's usually considered the very safe part of Baltimore if you're visiting. And Southwest Baltimore is known as the very dangerous, bad side of town.
So it's kind of like the south side of Chicago, which has a really bad reputation for a lot of violence as well.
Mm.
And so there are a lot of areas of cities, you know, like back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, there were a lot of violent acts in Watts in Los Angeles. And so there are different areas of cities that when the people that live there hear their name, they're like, oh, I don't want to go to that area. Okay, they've come up from Southwest Baltimore, and of course they're going to go to an area of the city that has good prospects for what they're aiming to do. And here, it's Inner Harbor, and it says this act seemed to show that no one, not even an octogenarian city official, was safe. So this octagon means eight, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's an eight-sided,
figure or shape.
Shape. And if we use this word octogenarian, it just means this, she's between 80 and 89 years of age. So you wouldn't really think that a couple of teenagers would hit an old woman.
Right. Yeah, it's a little strange that someone who is much older, maybe a little frail looking, or at least very clearly up in age, right? She's not very young. Maybe she doesn't have a lot of money because usually people retire and use their savings and don't have a job. So you know, you don't usually attack old people. And then this woman is also a city official, so mm-hmm. she's a prominent member of the community and has status. So even if she weren't old, you might think that, oh, her status should give her some protection. But here we see, no, neither one of these things that we might think would serve as some sort of protective deterrent have worked.
I know. I just thought it was interesting that when it says here that the 15-year-old hit her in the face hard, because for somebody like that, probably she wouldn't have put up a lot of resistance. I mean, maybe, but not really enough to warrant that kind of behavior.
Right. You would think that they would just threaten her and then take the vehicle.
Right. But because, I don't know if it's because of her position in the city, but it said that, you know, it was all over the news in the morning, in the evening paper in the morning, and it made the whole area even more anxious because of this kind of an attack. So, you know, we're not looking at a good situation here. So let's continue our reading and see what happens.
An alternative solution. Instead of seeking vengeance, Spectre quietly decided to become the boy's advocate. She and a team of nonprofit workers, mentors, cooks, and coaches, a group Spectre has dubbed the Good Samaritans, have been working with the boys for months, during and after their time on house arrest, and say their grades, school attendance, and attitude have shown marked improvements. Though the boys are still works in progress, their supporters say the teens are now emerging as leaders in the neighborhood, trying to teach others to stay out of trouble.
So we're going to look here at an alternative solution. And if something is an alternative, what is it?
An alternative just means that it's another option. There's another choice available. There's another solution.
Okay, so she has a different kind of plan or a solution to the situation. She takes another route, shall we say. And it says here, instead of seeking vengeance. Okay, vengeance, Carolyn.
Well, vengeance, here it's being used as a noun, and it just means the punishing of someone for harming you or someone that you care about or to wish for that punishment to happen. It's very similar to the word revenge. You want to get revenge.
Right.
So vengeance.
So it's interesting that you said you want to get revenge, but when we use this word vengeance as a noun, we often say seek. Okay, I'm seeking vengeance for something that's happened, but I want to get revenge because of something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to say it that way, but those are the common verbs that are used. And we see that she quietly decided to become the boy's advocate. And once again, if you're their advocate, what are you?
If you're someone's advocate, you represent them, you speak for them, you're looking out for their best interests, which is quite a surprise given the situation.
Yeah, I think most people would seek vengeance here.
Yes. When you're violently attacked, usually the initial response is not to defend your attacker.
I think something surprising here is she's also doing it quietly. She's not like, look how good I am, or I'm such a kind, benevolent person. She's just doing it. She's just taking action.
And she wasn't alone. It says that there's a team of nonprofit workers. So there were workers, there were mentors. What's a mentor? Have you ever had a mentor?
I've had a mentor. So I belong to an organization called Toastmasters. And so we don't really have teachers, and we have mentors instead, people who work with you, coach you, and help guide you through a lot of different things.
Okay, so it's really you use an experienced person that's teaching you something as an inexperienced person.
Right.
So here they're having people that come alongside these guys and help them, okay? And cooks, I found that one very interesting. And coaches. So this is a group that Spector has dubbed the Good Samaritans. And that is a phrase we take out of a story from the Bible where a Good Samaritan, Samaria is a country, and the Good Samaritan is a person from that country who came across somebody that actually had been attacked as well and took care of them. So you'll often see some organizations called the Good Samaritans. That means they help people in need. And these people, this team, okay, including Spector, has been working with the boys for months. And interesting, during and after their time on house arrest. So usually they did find these boys and they arrested them and they put them on house arrest.
Right.
Ever been in under house arrest?
Well, I feel like I've been under house arrest when my mom grounds me or I get in trouble.
Okay, so what is it?
House arrest here just refers to the fact that they're not put in prison, but they're not allowed to leave their house because of the actions they've done.
Right. So, and it's by the state, okay? Usually you're wearing something that will go off if you pass a certain line, and then you can be tracked easily. So they couldn't leave their home. And it says both during the time that they were under house arrest and then after their time. Okay, so now they're out, and say their grades, school attendance, and attitude have shown marked improvements. That's pretty interesting.
It is, especially because these boys were skipping school or cutting school before and getting into some very dangerous and illegal activities, and here now their grades are improving, they're attending school, and their attitudes have improved.
Right. And in the next sentence it says, though the boys are still works in progress. This is an interesting phrase, a work in progress. What does that mean, Joe?
If something's a work in progress, it's something that isn't completed but has made some steps for improvement. So, you know, often if you're working on something and you can tell someone it's not done, it's just a work in progress.
Right. And we often see, you know, if you look at inspirational phrases for your life, they all say, I'm a work in progress, so be patient with me, or, you know, something like that. Or if you're into artwork, okay, and if you do artwork or sculpture or something like that, we often say it's a work in progress if you're not finished with it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we see here that their supporters here say that these teens are coming out, they're emerging as leaders in the neighborhood. That's so interesting. It's really a turning around, you know, in their lives. Mm-hmm. And they are, what is the result of this, Carolyn?
Well, they're trying to teach others to stay out of trouble. And if you're staying out of trouble, it means that you're avoiding becoming involved in bad activities, right? Maybe illegal activities like what they had been doing before. But I think that this is a testament to the power of mentor programs and having people who support you and believe in you and want you to do well, where people who have that type of support and coaching can become leaders, and they can show other people the importance of being like good citizens and helping others and not getting into crime.
So what you're saying is that your friends are very important.
Yes.
And people who invest in your lives are very important. There's such a lot that goes into like kids and raising kids. You know, it's a lot has to do with the attitude of the parents, and a lot also has to do with, you know, kids when they hit like 13 to 15, there's often like I'm trying to find myself, and you kind of shut out your parents a little bit more maybe, and then that's when you choose your friends, and that's very important. So I think as a parent, my advice would be we just need to really be aware of who our kids are hanging out with. Well, let's continue. We have one little section left here for today, so let's read that right now.
Progress to be proud of. Around the one-year anniversary of the December 2016 attack, Spector joined the older teen in front of a large audience at her Park Heights synagogue, where leaders from across the city presented him with an award for his progress. The boy who had once punched Spector in the face now shyly tried to hide behind her from the view of the crowd. "I felt scared on the inside," the teenager said. "It was a lot of people, and I thought they were going to be ashamed of my actions. But a lot of people started shaking my hand and said they were proud of me."
So we see here that this little section is entitled Progress to be Proud of, and I think both the people that are on this team and also the kids themselves are proud, right? That's how I take this. So we see here that the attack happened in December of 2016, and then this past December was the one-year anniversary. What was going on here, Carolyn?
Well, Spector, or Ricky, however you would like to refer to her, joined the older teen in front of a large audience at her Park Heights synagogue. So they were having some special event at the synagogue, and a synagogue is a place of worship for Jewish people. So Christians often go to church, and Jewish people will go to the synagogue.
Okay, so it's in front of her Park Heights synagogue. So this is the area that she lives in, obviously. And there were leaders from, not just from that area, but from across the city that presented the older teen, the 15-year-old, but by now he would be 16, with an award for his progress.
Right. This is so amazing to see how the city, other city officials have come alongside in wanting to recognize the sort of turnaround that's happened in this boy's life.
Mm-hmm. And we see here that he responded in kind of an interesting way, didn't he, Carolyn?
Yes. Well, before we got this very aggressive impression of him, very violent impression, and now here is this person who had punched an 80-year-old woman in the face, and now he's shyly trying to hide behind her so that people can't see him.
Right. And I can understand, he kind of describes his feelings in this last paragraph here. How did he feel?
He said that he felt scared on the inside.
I can understand that.
The fear of being in front of a large audience. Anyone can be affected.
Mm-hmm. And it says here it was a lot of people. And what did he? How did he expect the crowd to respond?
Well, he thought that they would be ashamed of what he did because he had committed this awful crime against an old woman. And she was an important woman for the city, but they weren't.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's a very reasonable expectation to think that people would be ashamed or angry or upset with what he had done.
But in fact, what did happen?
It was the exact opposite. A lot of people started shaking his hands and coming up and saying they were proud of him and what he had managed to accomplish.
So I'm imagining that he was quite shocked.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think that, you know, for both sides here, this is a huge change for her and for him both. You know, you don't just hide behind somebody that you've punched without some kind of relationship with them.
Right. You know, all of a sudden you see that these two lives have been linked together in a very odd way, especially since the city official, Specter, she's from Inner Harbor. You know, those worlds are very far apart despite all being in the same city.
I have to say, I mean, just after just reading this little bit about her, that I admire her, you know. They have been paying their price for the crime that they committed, you know, being under house arrest. And now it looks like that they're out from under house arrest, and they're in the community, and the community has pulled together to support them. Have you ever seen anything like this happen, either one of you?
I don't know if I've personally witnessed something quite that dramatic.
I think I've heard stories like this, but I haven't ever really been a part of one. But I haven't been attacked in a parking lot either.
Right. No, this is a very special situation. But it is very inspiring to read about these types of situations where someone who is injured in some way forgives the person who injured them, whether it be a financial injury or a physical injury or a property injury, that sort of thing. But seeing the forgiveness and then the growth that occurs on both sides for the person who was attacked and the attacker.
Well, we're going to find out really what inspired Spectre to actually not seek vengeance or take vengeance on these boys, and what the community has done and how it's affected both of their lives tomorrow. So be sure to join us again as we finish up our inspiration article. But it's time to say bye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.